Hola!
I was going to say, Guten Morgen!
Wie geht's?
Ah, so lala, und du?
Ah, naja.
Okay, got it. I love that the High Tide, By Tide is the new podcast shirt.
I know, I don't know where my I think my Station 19 one's in the wash.
I'm in my nightshirt, so it is what it is.
You're always in your nightshirt.
Because it's always in the middle of the night.
I know, bless you. Yeah, I need to dig out my Station 19. It must be in the wash. But do you have, like, I have, like, a chair in my bedroom, which is a nearly clean clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So if I just put the sweatshirt on to record the podcast, like, we always have a chat before, so we probably take on average, I would say, 3 hours to record a podcast because we have our like chat and then we do the recording and then there's normally a little debrief unless you have to run out with the kids. So it's not dirty enough to put in the wash, but I've worn it long enough that I don't want to put it back in the wardrobe as clean. So I have like a chair in my bedroom that's my almost clean clothes. Is that just me or do you do that as well?
I lay it on my dresser.
Okay, yeah.
Like I have a long dresser and I just like, I have a end that on the left side that's for those clothes. I actually have some leggings and a shirt there right now that I just wore for like 3 hours one day. And I'm like, I didn't really, you know, wear this.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Or I don't know if I'm the only one that does this, but sometimes like if I don't leave the house, and I wore sweatpants, like I'll wear them for a couple of days, like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, that's acceptable. Unless you do anything sweaty in the sweatpants.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can definitely get away with wearing the same sweatpants around the house for 2 days, for sure.
Yeah, like if I'm just like sitting there doing nothing, just taking care of like the kids and the house or whatever, I'm like, oh, I can wear these again tomorrow. But it's only, I mean, it's not like a week, but you know, like a day or two. So I have that pile too, like my, I'm going to wear these tomorrow again pants.
Yeah.
I never do it with a shirt though. It's weird. I only do it with pants.
No, same. I'm the same. And I wouldn't do it with a t-shirt. No,
yeah,
I think it's because it's, because again, my Station 19 sweatshirt is normally over the top of a t-shirt.
Mm.
But the layer that touches my skin, I don't want to wear again. But if it's a layer that's touched another layer, then I don't mind wearing it twice. As long as it hasn't had heavy wear.
I'm not judging you right now. This is so much more entertaining than our pre-conversation. I got a history lesson in British government for like 45 minutes. And now we're talking about how long we rewear our clothes.
This is the span of our conversations.
I know. I can tell you all about your prime minister and NHS. I got it down.
Yep.
Tories.
The Tories. Boo!
Yep. Yeah, I got it.
Brexit.
Yep. We talked about, well, and Brexit interests me because obviously, you know, I have a European Union passport.
Yeah.
And so when you guys left, it was like, man, no, I can't eat. Like, it's not as easy to travel among. Like when we went to Paris and Italy and Milan, when we crossed the borders, I just flashed my EU passport and they were like, you know, just go right through. So
exactly. But it wouldn't be that way to cross the,
yeah, thanks,
cross the sea. Don't blame me. I voted to remain.
Okay.
I'm stuck here now on this little island. They won't let me off.
I am going to blame you though for what my mom said to me in the car the other day.
Oh god, share with the group Tiffany.
So,
I feel like this is going to be therapeutic for you as well. Share with the group.
This maybe it will, sharing with the group, but because I've been pretty hurt by it. We were driving a long drive and I had my phone hooked up to the speakers in the truck and it was playing stuff off my playlist and I fell asleep. And I was asleep for like 2 hours and I woke up and hearing Melissa's voice and it was our podcast that had started playing. And I was like, Mom, you're listening to my podcast, and she was like, yeah, it's been on for about 2 hours. And before I could even begin to breathe to say a word, she says, Melissa's a lot better than you, by the way.
Oh my God. Which amuses me, but it's not true.
If it comes from your mom, it's pretty true. And I've known, the thing is, as I've known this for a while, so it didn't hurt me as much as it could have.
No, yeah, but I'm not. You look, you're the one that does the accents. You're the one that does the majority of the singing on the podcast. You are very entertaining.
She says your comments are better than mine.
That's her opinion. It's just an opinion.
But it's my mom. Do you get, it's my mother.
I don't know what to tell you, Tiffany. I'm a hit with mums.
She's supposed to think I'm like the best thing. Like, I think Amy and Obi are the best thing, little boys in the world. Okay. And if they had their own little podcast, I wouldn't go to them and be like, yeah, that other one was better than you.
Well, that's because I think that, look, what I'm going to say is the American half of you that thinks that your kids are the best in the world.
Right, the German part of me. Okay, so if there's like a 28-year-old Abraham and he's doing a podcast, I'd be like, you need to step your game up a little bit. Your co-host is, they're kind of showing you out a little bit. I would do that.
There you go. You just got to let the German half shine through.
But she literally didn't even let me breathe to speak and was like, Melissa's a lot better than you. Your comments just do not par up. And I'm like, I've been awake for 28 seconds. And okay. Whoa. Thanks, Mom. And I literally said, thanks, Mom. And she was like, you're welcome. Like, and the thanks, Mom, was so sarcastic. Like, it did not require a you're welcome. It was not worthy of a you're welcome. Okay.
Oh my God.
So that was my weekend. How was yours?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm sorry is what I can say.
No,
is
you're all not. I can say. You're just happy that you're the better one.
I know, because I don't consider myself to be the better one. I think that
I'm
we
just,
are.
I don't know why I'm here. I don't know
because
why I'm here.
It would be nothing without you. Who would I
it's
have to talk
true.
To?
It's not true.
I wouldn't have anyone to talk to.
You could act like you were talking to like a person while you're talking to the screen. That sounded better in my head.
Yeah, I'm not going to get any feedback. Is the thing. And if I do, then
that's
I probably
true.
Need to be medicated. If I...
Yeah. It'll kind of be like, I started watching Miranda on BBC. I was texting you about this.
Yeah, you texted me and said, am I familiar with Miranda? She's
and
huge over here.
I love her. I first came about knowing her from the movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy.
I love that film. That's such a funny film.
And then I looked her up because I thought she was hilarious. And, she puts her under her coat. And she's like,
you what?
I'm sorry, that scene is just so funny. And I pictured it. Once I pictured it, it was over.
We've lost Tiffany. Tiffany down.
If you have not seen Spy, Miranda Hart in that movie is so funny. I'm literally crying right now. She's like, somebody called her Big Bird. I can't take it. Anyway, so I started watching her show on BBC, and I don't know where I was going with this now. I lost it. Oh. She talks to the camera all the time.
Yeah, she breaks
in
the
that
third
show.
Wall. Yeah.
She does. So you could just do that.
I don't have Miranda's comedy chops, though.
Oh, so am I just the comedy relief? Is that why I'm here?
I mean,
somebody who, and my mom doesn't think I'm funny, so. Like, you know how many times I'm literally laughing like I just was, and my mom's like blankly staring at me, like, are you done? Are you good? Do you need me to get you like a bag or something to breathe into?
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like, Mom, that was the funniest thing in the world. She's like, yeah, if you say so.
Is that her German sense of humor, though? Because everyone thinks that Germans aren't funny, which is not true. Germans are absolutely hilarious.
They are hilarious.
They have an amazing sense of humor. But I think it's really different to the American sense of humor. And that's probably why American people particularly have this thing that Germans aren't funny, because Germans are dry beyond belief, like ridiculously dry. So do you think it's your mum's sense that you and your mum have a slightly different sense of humor because you were raised here and she's still got her German sensibilities, sense of humor?
Yes, because I can make my mom laugh. I've made my mom laugh to the point where she's almost peed, but it's been very different.
Yes.
So it's been a very different thing than if an American would have maybe not laughed at it.
Yeah.
She has been able to make me laugh. Oh my God, I almost tripped and fell over a toy. I cannot trip again.
Oh, don't.
She has made me laugh. And, like, I remember posting on Facebook once, like, I wish you guys knew how funny my mom was, because nobody knows how funny my mom is except me. Like, she's hilarious. But apparently, I'm not funny. So.
I think you're very funny. You amuse me no end.
I don't know. I've lost my confidence, Melissa. It's just gone. It's done. She just took it away from me. I know, honestly, I always knew you were the fan favorite, and I just accepted that.
Oh my God! Right, I refer you back to Hannah's email that we read out last week, where she says that there are no favorites and we are two halves of one whole. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying, okay.
We're going to have to work on your self-esteem, I feel.
Yeah, that's a lot of childhood trauma packed in there. So if you really want to go there, we can. But I'm not thinking you do.
Oh, God. Maybe when I've finished the psychology degree, we'll go at it like good and proper. Well,
you'll give me free sessions?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I left my counselor. She would just scroll on Google my whole session and go, Yeah. And it was always a virtual visit. So, but I could see the reflection of what internet she was looking at in her glasses, like in the video.
Oh my God.
So I knew she was just like scrolling Facebook while talking. And then I would say something and then like, it would take her 10 seconds to realize that I wasn't talking. She would go, oh yeah. And I'm like, okay, just keep scrolling Facebook.
Mom,
so I left my counselor.
The caring profession.
You helped me more than, like, was it yesterday or the day before when I had to call you because I had that dream?
Yeah, day before yesterday, I think. Yeah.
And you were like explaining things to me, like why I felt the way I felt and why I thought the way I thought. And like, oh my God, it was a counseling session.
There you go. But that's, you know, that's what we do for each other. That's what people do for each other.
I can't get as in depth. I'll just be like, stop talking about yourself that way. I'm going to come over there and beat you up. That's what I would say.
Which I'm sure is helpful in its own way.
Yeah, you don't want to get beat up.
Exactly. It's incentive to change your thought patterns. Whatever works.
It is.
Oh my God.
Okay, you want to see my background of my phone?
Yes, please.
Do you really, or are you just saying to make, because you know it's going to make me really happy?
No, I want to see it.
Okay. Don't make fun of me.
Why would I make fun of you? Ah! It's a picture of Tiffany with Merle.
With the has to come before that.
Or as I like to call her, Merle Bloody Dandridge.
You come on. Do you think Jana would be jealous if she ever found out that I dumped her for Merle? Or do you think I just don't have that clout? You can be honest.
I don't really know much about Jana Lee Ortiz to know enough as to whether that's the sort of thing that would...
I'm a little bit offended by that because she was my first wife.
Yeah, I know she was, but I don't know if she... I'm talking about her attitude towards things. I'm not familiar with...
Oh, like her, like actually Jana. We're not like talking slash Andy. You mean like the actual Jana Lee Ortiz.
Yeah, the actual Jana. I don't know enough about her to know if that's the sort of thing that would upset her and make her jealous. Andy 100% would be jealous. If it was Andy knowing that she had been usurped by the chief, there would be a 3-episode arc where Andy just... like bores everyone to death with like, what do you think I did to Tiffany to deserve that?
What does the chief have that I don't have?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what Merle Dandridge has. I wonder if Merle would be flattered if I told her that I dumped Jana for her.
I think that she would love it.
I should tell her that when I meet her again, because I know I'll probably meet her again. I should be like, you know, I dumped Jana for you, right? Like, you know that. And Jana was...
I left my first wife for you.
I did. For you. I am married to a man, but I left my first wife.
A minor detail.
Yeah, which can be fixed. Like, that's no problem. If you...
Nothing's permanent.
This can work. No. If you think this can go somewhere...
He's the father of my children, but I'm prepared to set all of that aside.
It's Merle Bloody Dandridge.
Merle Bloody Dandridge, mate.
I mean, would you be mad at me?
No. Who could?
Okay.
I think even Josh would understand. Like, I think he would.
He'd be like, I think you got a chance with her?
Yeah, I think he would pinch. I think he would pinch, and then he'd be like, do you know what? Who am I to stand in your way? Look at that.
Look at who that is.
Yeah.
He'd happily sign it, sign papers. She was so sweet when I met her at the strike. I should probably update the podcast listeners that I went to the strike for the
Heroes. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, not much though.
But your interaction with Merle Dandridge was like classic Merle. It was really funny.
She has on these big black glasses and this big black mask and waves at me and is like, hi. And I didn't wave back because I'm like, I don't know who that is. And is she waving at me? You know what I mean? It was right after I was done talking to Jason George. So then I see her under the tent when Jason is giving his speech and she takes the mask off. And I'm like, oh my God, Merle Dandridge waved at me and I ignored her. And I walked over there rude. And I was like, I know, rude. Miranda says that all the time on the show.
Does she?
Rude.
It's really English, dude. They just get rude.
People like will say something and Miranda will go, rude.
Yeah.
Which is my accent, Merle, is it kind of like Miranda's?
No, Miranda's got a very posh
A very posh accent.
Yeah, she's got a very like public schoolgirl accent.
Is she like Lady Diana?
Not quite that. So that was quite plummy, which is a separate accent. We have like degrees of accent.
You guys have like parliaments of accents. Like,
yeah, literally. And considering how small our country is, but you can pinpoint almost like a town and a socioeconomic bracket, like where somebody is from there. Like geographically and socioeconomically from their accent. And Miranda is below royalty, but above me.
It was so funny because I thought of you because the episode I was watching and I was waiting in the ER, somebody thinks that she's from, so in the show, she's from Hensworth or something like that. And somebody mistakes her for somebody else and she just goes along with it because that's how she is. Yeah. And they think she's from Yorkshire. And so she starts to talk really slow with her accent. And she's like, oh, I hear Yorkshire, and I changed my accent. And, so I thought of you because I thought of the changing of the accent. So, anyway, so I run over to Merle when she takes her mask off, and I realize it was her that waved at me. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I did not know it was you. If it was you, I wouldn't think you had recognized me. And it's just like, of course I recognized you. When you met me the first time, it was this whole big thing. And I'm like, oh my God.
But it was so sweet because she remembered, didn't she? She said to you, oh yeah, no, because I spoke to your podcast listeners.
And then I was so grateful because I think I had told you that after I watched Greenleaf, I was wishing and hoping to meet her again.
Yeah.
To thank her for her role. And when it was only about maybe 45 seconds to a minute of my story I got to share with her. She actually teared up and pulled me into the biggest hug.
Oh.
And was like, I'm so sorry that you experienced abuse in the church. But I'm so grateful that Grace Greenleaf helped you get through it. And it was just like that moment I will always remember.
And this is why she's marriage material.
Exactly. So if Merle, if you're listening, I'm here.
Open to offers.
Call me up. Ring, as you guys say, give me a ring.
Give me a ring.
Ring me up. Isn't that what you guys say?
Yeah, ring give me a ring. Yeah. Oh, I rang him up and then blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's exactly what we say. Yeah.
We say, call me.
Yeah.
Yeah. See the difference?
I do. And it's catchier in a, like, I can't imagine Blondie having recorded a song called Ring Me Up as opposed to Call Me.
I don't know that song, but I know. I think it's crazy, so call me, maybe. Like, ring me up, maybe. Like, that just doesn't flow.
No, in English, it'd be like, well, you can, I mean, if you, give me a ring if you want. Like, no pressure. Yeah, there's no pressure, but, you know, this is my number. In fact, do you want my number? I don't want to just presume by giving you my number, but if you would like my number and if you would perhaps like to give me a ring, then you should feel free to do
so. Oh, my God, by then I'd be like, just give me the frickin' number.
You see how we're different?
Yeah. Got it.
Oh, man. Look, do you realize
Have we even started talking about this episode
I was about to say, do you realize we're 24 minutes in at this point, nearly, and we haven't actually spoken about the episode?
I'm hoping this is why people like our podcast, though. Like,
yeah.
This is the... But or are people sitting there like, oh my God, start talking about the
episode. They just like hit the skip forward 30 seconds bit until
they hear something about the episode.
So they hear me say air date.
Right.
I wanted to quickly, oh look, we've had another message come in since, oh no, it's okay. It's just someone's put us in their stories. Hi Matty, it's Matilda. She's put us in her stories.
Oh Matty. Yeah. I love Maddie. She's so sweet.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that we got from listeners. I actually didn't see this one. I have to apologize to Minna, but this was marked as read in our inbox and I had not read it, but now I've seen it. So I apologize and I will get back to you. But Minna has said, here's a question that I would love your answer to whenever you do your next recording. Let's say in season 16 of Grey's, Amelia never got pregnant and she and Karina became a couple. So do you know this, that originally Karina and Amelia were supposed to be a couple and then Caterina Scorsone became pregnant in real life? And so they had to abandon the storyline of Karina and Amelia and instead they wrote Caterina's pregnancy into Amelia's storyline. And made the big hunk of man that she was in a relationship with the father of that baby and carried that relationship on.
Who's the father of their baby?
What's his name? He's got a funny name. Link. Dr. Lincoln. Link.
Who's with Joe now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I know a little bit. I knew that Amelia had a crush on Karina. I knew that.
Yeah.
But I did not know that they were set to be an item. I don't know how I feel about that chemistry.
I mean, I suppose we'll never know now, but...
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm laughing. You're thinking how I'm not making my mom proud this episode so far. She's going to listen to this one and be like, really, Tiffany? I'm going to be like, no good. Okay. I'll try next time.
Oh, my God. But you're so funny. You are.
If Amelia and Karina ended up together.
Yes. So Minna's question is, if Karina and Amelia had become a couple, what do we think the trajectory of Maya's character would have been like in season 3? Can I say, I wish I had seen this question before we hit record and I could have actually thought about it, because I think this is an absolutely superb question.
It is a really good question. It's a very hard question, because it could have gone so many different ways. Because they could have given her so many more different love interests. They could have given her a male love interest, and possibly instead of a female love interest. They could have maybe put her back with Jack, or maybe she would never have gotten demoted as captain and would be battalion chief by now, because maybe she never would have made that call. You know what I mean? It's just, there's so many different things that could happen.
Layers. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good question. What do you think?
My first instinct, like off the top of my head, is that her life would have crumbled around her ears.
Because she didn't have the support of Karina?
Yeah. And if she didn't have Karina, she would have had nobody, because she burned her bridges with Jack by dumping him in order to get the promotion. And so Jack hasn't got any time for her initially. And then Andy is just horrendous.
For her, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you think about the you know, I'm the truck, and that gorgeous scene that then led to her going and saying to Sullivan, give Andy my job. I'm the truck, give Andy my job. I don't want the job. If she hadn't had a safe place to fall and that shoulder to literally cry on, and for someone to have held her in that moment, I don't think she would have had that moment. I think that her dad's voice would have been louder than Karina's. Like, that she wouldn't have had what am I trying to say? Because she's got Karina, there's like an antithesis to, there's like a competing voice to her dad's, and there wouldn't have been a competing voice if she didn't have Karina. And so I think that whole, like, unless you're winning all the time, you are automatically a failure, that there's no middle ground and there's no, everything's winning or losing. And I think that she would have not allowed herself to see herself as a loser in that situation. So I think she would have just dug in and kind of kept hard-headed, hard-hearted Maya driving the bus kind of thing. And I don't think she would have had any, like, emotional growth. I think she would have stayed in that hard lane and not had, like, all of the emotional growth that she had over season 3.
Yeah, we probably would have seen a mental breakdown a lot, that mental crisis a lot earlier too.
Yes, exactly. And her mum would have left her dad, irrespective of Karina being around or not. So that still would have happened, and her mum still would have come to her and said, I'm sorry for your father's abuse. And she would have just dismissed her mum and marched on ahead. And she wouldn't have had Karina to say to her, no, you were abused, actually. That is abuse. you were abused. And although she doesn't take it well, eventually she comes to that realization and, you know, says to Karina, doesn't she, you were right about my dad, and, you know, and I'm sorry for the way that I treated you. But if she hadn't had someone else there who she trusted to give her that perspective, then I think that she would have, and that would have dredged up a lot of thoughts and feelings, but she wouldn't have had, again, a safe person to talk to about it, because her relationship with Andy wasn't in a good spot. And I don't think she would have spoken to Andy anyway. I don't think she trusts Andy with her, especially not at that point. She doesn't trust Andy with her emotional baggage, because Andy's shown over the past couple of series that she doesn't really have room for Maya's stuff. So I think she would have been completely alone, and with everything that's going on in the station and everything that's going on with her mother and the traumatic experiences that and memories that have been dredged up. Yeah, and I think that they probably would have crushed her. So I think that's what Maya's trajectory would have been her hitting self-destruct and screwing everything up. I don't think she would have been as good a captain as she turned out to be. I think that she would have been an absolute disaster without Karina.
Yeah. I still can't picture Karina and Amelia together. I just can't.
I don't know. I think Katerina Scorsone is a very talented actor. And we obviously know Stefania is. And if you had just shown me a picture of her and ER Fightmaster and said ER is going to be Amelia's love interest, I'd have just been like, yeah, okay. There's going to be zero chemistry there. Like, that's going to be a shit show. And it was incredible. Because...
yeah, they were only supposed to be in one episode.
Yeah.
But the chemistry was so good.
It's fireworks. It's absolute fireworks. It's beautiful. And so, yeah, I think that sometimes you can't picture things, and then when you see them, you're just like, oh, that makes sense. So I don't know. I think maybe it would have worked. And they get along. Stefania and Katerina appear to get along. So
yeah, the cons, they seemed to, well, at least in Paris, they seemed to, like, I'd see them joking in the hall together and things like that. So.
Yeah. And I think that's half the battle won, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you like each other in real life, then it's easier to act like you like each other and have that sort of trust on screen. So I think they would have made it work because they're both brilliant, but I think it's hard to picture Karina with anyone except Maya.
Yeah, because Marina just blew up. I don't think that they thought it would blow up the way that it blew up.
You can't plan for something like that. It's just kismet. And they're each other's lobster. Maya and Karina are each other's lobster.
Lobster? What the heck?
Oh, yeah. No, you don't watch Friends. It's a Friends thing. She's her lobster.
Don't watch Friends. You are so funny.
It comes with hand gestures. He's her lobster.
I see. Oh, man. Okay, well, that was a good question.
It was a bloody good question, that one. And we got another one, which I knew about, and I went in to retrieve that one and then saw Minna's there. But the question that I knew about, and this is from Jennifer, and she says, I'm still so frustrated with the editing of the fire and shower scene that are intermingled in 6:15.
Okay.
And she says she's still trying to understand why it was done. She said, I do not recall having issues of editing of the show, but this one just really bothers me. Do you guys have an opinion on why it was done this way? Do you think it was because of their time slot? Maybe ABC thought the shower scene was too spicy. I just can't figure it out, and it really bugs me because I see nothing wrong with it. To me, it's a disservice to the writers and the actors and the characters to split it up like that. like we have all said before, it takes away so much from what's happening to the characters to edit it the way they did. So you remember the scene that she's talking about, right? Where we've got Jason George being incredible.
Yeah.
When Warren is being physically dragged back from going back into the sober house.
Because
he promised to save Taylor's life. And then cut in between that is the most beautiful reconciliation between Maya and Karina in the shower. Yeah, so it's still bothering Jennifer. And so she's wondering if we have any ideas, any conjecture as to why it might have been done that way.
You know, I've noticed that they do editing like that quite a bit. For example, my favorite episode, the season 6 finale, when they go between Karina delivering the baby and Sullivan rescuing Ross. So one could argue, why didn't they just focus on the baby, or why couldn't they just focus on him rescuing Ross? Why did they have to split those up in between? And I remember for that scene feeling very emotional with that edit. Like, I thought that edit was done beautifully, and that was a perfect shots that went back and back between each other. So I do, to answer her question, I do recall them editing like that before. And I'm sure they've done it in other episodes. I just can't recall specific scenes, but I do remember watching that episode. And of course we were all like glued to the screen, and thinking, gosh, can they just let us see the shower scene? Like, can they just, you know, let us enjoy the shower scene? But I think they did it to prolong it, to make it last as long as it possibly could. And so they had to put pauses into it to make it last. And I think it would have been a little bit too spicy because a lot of times when it came back to the shower, they were in a different position or doing something different. And in order to get into that position, maybe that would be too spicy for ABC at 8 o'clock. And so maybe, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Maybe breaking up how they got to what they were doing. Like when we see Danielle go down and Karina just start laughing and then camera gone. Like, you know, they had to edit it. We all knew what was happening, but
yeah, because Maya dropped the soap.
Leave it up to imagination. Right. She dropped. Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, she dropped the soap. She needed to pick up the soap, and Karina was laughing like, "Oh, you're so clumsy." That's what
my mind was in the gutter. Whose thoughts are not pure on this one?
What did you think was happening? It was definitely a soap drop.
I don't know what ages listen to this podcast, so I'm going to leave that alone. We'll just say she dropped the soap. kind of takes away from the shower scene. Okay. And so that's why I think they did the edit. I think they did it to prolong it, to make it as long as possible. What do you think?
I think the same as you. So the difference between, and I love interspersing, it works really well to intersperse scenes and show this is what's happening over here at the same time as this is happening over here. And it makes great sense, both story-wise and thematically, and also with the mix of shots in your favorite episode, because you have Karina pulling the baby out of this woman, and so giving the baby life, then you have Sullivan pulling the chief out from the rubble and giving her life.
I love how you called her the chief. Just gave me chills. get chills.
She'll always be the chief to me.
And you're losing control.
How is that not entertaining? You're very entertaining.
We just like totally duetted that. We rocked that out.
I'm going to go and get my motorcycle jacket and we can really go
and get
some.
One of the guitars and we're just going to, I'll be Pinky.
I mean, I was always going to be Danny, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
But where were we? Yes, so the chief.
Always be the chief.
Yes. And also it works kind of shot-wise that, and I apologise to Boris. I'm just pointing out a fact that he has a bald head. I'm not, you know, but he does have a bald head. So you have like a little like bald baby head popping up and then you have like Boris's bald head popping up. So you get like a match shot. So thematically and shot-wise, what Stacey K. Black did was like banging.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was perfect. But it didn't work with episode 15. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And it did ruin both of those scenes because Jason George was at his absolute finest. And
he was.
It made me cry. And I then couldn't enjoy the shower scene because I was crying and I was emotionally taken out of it. And I think that you are absolutely right in that there are certain things that they're not going to be able to show, and they wouldn't be able to show the transit. First of all, it wouldn't have been a sexy transition because they would have to set the camera up and they would have to move things around.
Right.
So the transition from this position ain't going to be sexy because they ain't actually having the sex.
We could have seen her drop the soap, though.
Could have seen her drop the soap. So there's the practical reason that they need to actually set the shot up for the next bit, you know, because we're in the shower and then we're outside of the shower. So cameras need to be moved and lighting needs to be changed. And so there's the practical reasons. So you are absolutely right. And also, yes, the spicy nature of things, possibly. But that doesn't excuse the fact that the scene that they chose to intersperse it with was the fire scene. And I think that literally they had no choice because where else were they going to put it? What else were they going to?
I agree. And I also agree with you that I remember crying as well because Jason George he smashed that scene so well. And seeing Taylor sitting there, knowing he was going to, like, I'm getting chills right now. I remember being so emotionally invested in that scene, and then having it all of a sudden stop, and then seeing Maya and Korean in the shower, and then being like, and then trying to get away from the emotions I just felt.
Yeah. And you're so like relieved and happy. Yeah. And for me, there was like the added little layer of, that I don't get to see enough of my relationship represented. And so that was beautiful for me, but it did take away from it. And I don't think it was necessarily anyone's fault. And I'll bet that there was a lot of grimacing from, and didn't Paris Barclay directed that?
Yes.
And individually, he did a phenomenal job with both of those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll bet that there was a lot of hand-wringing and grimacing from him and the producers when they did the final cut.
Yeah. Of how are we going to do this?
Of
how
like, this doesn't feel right, but I don't know how else we can do it.
Yeah.
It did feel off brand for them, but that's the only reason that I can think of as to why it came out that way, is because there was no other way to move those things along without cutting those two scenes together.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good question.
That was a good question. Thanks, Jennifer.
Oh my gosh, did we tell everyone of that Merle commented and reposted our thing you did? Did you tell everyone that?
No.
You need to.
Yeah, so I did one of my stupid videos that I like to do from time to time where I just make an idiot of myself. And I made a mashup of Danielle's live with Merle. I took Merle out of Danielle's living room and put her in mine. And instead of Merle serenading Danielle at Danielle's request, I made it as if I'd asked Merle to do a duet with me, and that then she then bogarted it and just did her own thing. And I did it in support of the SAG-AFTRA strike, the picket mm-hmm. that Tiffany went to, because Jason George put something up on Instagram to ask people to post content online with the hashtags Hollywood's bravest and finest and what have you. So I thought, well, that can be my contribution. So that's what I did. And Mel Bloody Dandridge saw it, commented on it, and said it was hilarious. And then she reposted it on her Instagram stories and on Twitter, which was very nice.
Isn't that the coolest? I know. It was so cool.
I told my mum, and my mum was like, "The actual person." I was like, "Yes, the actual person. Who do you think's doing it? It wasn't a dog. Her dog." Like, yes, mum, the actual person. She said, "Well, that's amazing, isn't it?" Yes, mum. Yes, it is.
That sounds like such a British thing. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? Such a British thing to say.
You might have competition from my mum for Merle. Every time she sees Merle, she says, "God, she's an attractive woman, isn't she?"
You better tell your mum to back off.
God, that's an attractive woman. Yes, she is an attractive woman, mother. Yes, she is. Actually, my mum calls her girl because my mum's obviously of an older generation, so she thinks of Merle as a girl.
I just looked up Merle's age because she kept saying that she's old as hell in the live she did with Danielle, and that it was past her bedtime.
She's like in her late 40s or something, isn't she?
Totally shocked me. That woman looks, she, for her age, she's 48.
Yeah.
She does not look like she's almost 50 years old.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That woman was blessed with some genes because, dang.
Yep, those are some good genetics at work. Yeah.
I know.
But there you go. So, you might have to have a stand-up drag out with my mom over Mel.
Yeah, when I come, make sure she's there when I'm there one day, and I'll throw bows with your mom.
Not being funny, but she's 4'8" and pushing 70, so that might be, you might want to give her a little, cut her a little bit of slack. We've lost Tiffany again. You know when someone laughs so hard that no sound comes out?
She's 4'8".
Yeah.
In the United States, 4'9" makes you legally a midget.
Same over here. I used to say to her when I was a kid, like, "You're missing out. You can get some state benefits. Like, go and get yourself some midget benefits." But she, she declined.
I can't fight a midget. I don't care that she's 70, but I can't fight a midget.
No issue with elder abuse, but you're just not going to take on someone that's physically that much smaller than you.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I'm like 5'11". I can't do that to a midget. Oh, my God. I hope this episode makes it. We're not the only ones laughing during this episode.
Well, look, at least we amuse ourselves, even if we amuse no one else. I'll tell you who won't be amused, your mother.
Yeah, she'll be like, "Well, at least now they know."
Yeah. Jeez. Oh my
goodness. Oh my God, that's so funny. I know. Have you ever do that where you like laugh so hard no sound comes out and you're like, "Breathe, breathe, breathe."
Oh, that was so funny.
What's funny is we've been talking for almost an hour and we still have not gotten in this episode.
It literally clicked over to 56 minutes, as you said. We've been talking for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Clicked over to 56. Shall we talk about this episode before we...
Sure.
Before we lose everybody.